This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Lilypod episode 154, What Most Couples Fight About. Jeff and Kathy Teichert, on a mission to help single adults intentionally heal from loss to create happy lives and healthy relationships with private and group coaching, courses, and written materials. Visit loveinlateryears.com to discover the many resources we offer. If you enjoy personal growth and enriching relationships, you are in the right place.
Welcome, Lilypod listeners. Today we're going to talk about a subject that is really common in relationships and I think too little understood, and that is fighting. Now, what do most couples fight about is the question, but I think we're going to talk through some important elements of how to, and I use fight in a very broad sense. I don't literally mean hurting each other, hopefully, but how we fight in a better way.
And I think I'd rather use the word conflict, because we actually recently had a couple on and we talked about how they've never had a fight. And they refer to fighting as when you get contentious, when you stop being on the same team. And they said they've never done it. But they have had conflict.
Right.
And they have had arguments and they've had disagreements.
Well, Trace will even say he was the husband in that couple, and they're a later married couple as well. They were both mid-singles, but he said that conflict can just be, you know, you're debating, you're making your case, you're making your points. He's saying you're disagreeing, but you're just reasoning through what you think and allowing your partner to do the same thing. Now, we don't think that means that you're always going to stick to your guns. You both might come up with a third alternative that's better. But I think the idea is, I think he's saying you do it with reason and keep the heavy emotion out of it as much as possible.
Yeah. And the reason we're using the word fight is because there has been a study that has debunked what a lot of people believe most couples fight about.
Yeah. The Gottmans, John and Julie Gottman, are some of the foremost relationship and marriage researchers in the world.
And before we give their results and what we're going to talk about today, I think it should be said that a lot of people believe that most couples fight about money or sex.
Right. That's a common belief. That what are the two most prevalent topics? And it's the ones Kathy just mentioned that always come up.
And it might be true that the fighting has an element of those things involved, but the Gottmans went deeper.
Right. And what they say, the most common thing people fight about is, they say the biggest thing people fight about is nothing.
Nothing.
And I mean, they could get in a fight over the remote control and what program we're going to watch, or why are you always flipping through the channels? It takes you longer to find something to watch than it does to watch it. I mean, it could be anything.
And then even if it is about sex or money, it's still about nothing. And I've concluded that what they mean by nothing is actually feelings.
Right.
It's when we get our feelings hurt. It's when we are making what our partner is saying mean that they don't care about us. It's all the internal stuff that happens that puts our emotions on edge and gets us emotionally flooded in a way that, like, we have to fight or flight.
Right.
It puts us into, like, a childlike mind, and we're no longer in our upper brain. Thinking through and reasoning, and then we keep talking.
Right.
And that's the main issue, is we keep talking and doing damage, and we don't even remember what we're fighting about. We just know we're hurting.
You know, I remember this thing that came up in my family growing up, where, and my mother has told this story over and over again, that one time they were out shopping together, she and my dad were, and she wanted to buy some hand cream because she was running out. And he said they didn't need hand cream. And basically my mother didn't say more. She just sort of gave in. And then she said my hands were sore and they were cracking. And I guess ultimately she bought some hand cream anyway. But she chose for years to make it mean that she wasn't worth some hand cream, that it wasn't important to him that she felt, you know, comfortable with her hands. Now, my belief is that if you sat down and talked to him about it, he would say, didn't know it was that big of a deal. And I was just trying to save money because we were young and poor. And, you know, we didn't have a lot extra. And if I had known that that particular thing mattered that much, I would have gone ahead and bought it. But the issue is not the hand cream, really, whatever it is.
It's the feeling she had based on the what she made it mean.
What she made it mean. And you know, was he being insensitive in that moment? Maybe so. Maybe he had some reason he should have known what the importance of that was to her. But, you know, we've encountered other couples even recently who have the same kinds of discussions going on. One woman we know of who's really frugal, her husband got on her case for spending money on some small thing. And, you know, I've wondered, was that his revenge, you know, because she's on him all the time about what he spends maybe.
And I brought up this concept of nothing, and that really resonated with her, even though you could say it was about money, but it wasn't really about that. It was about both of them feeling hurt.
Right. It was about, I mean, I think money to many of us will represent, do you care about me? If you cared about me, you'd be willing to spend money on me. And, or you'd be, well, you know, if you cared about me, you wouldn't take us so close to the edge and that I feel insecure. So there's lots of things we can make it mean.
Or you're being critical of me and therefore I'm not enough.
Right.
I do that one a lot.
Right.
Inside myself.
Me too. I know that's the Achilles heel for me and Kathy. We can both be feeling like martyrs in that regard. And we don't ever quite get to that part of the discussion, if that's coming up, you know.
I think we have. That's why we know it.
Ultimately, yes. But I think it usually doesn't happen in the in the moment.
Oh, of course. Because in the moment, you become a child.
Right.
Like a scared little child that doesn't know if his or her parents love them.
Right. One of the things I've kind of at least inferred from what the Gottmans say on this subject is that, you know, you might think, well, if I, you know, if me and my spouse don't seem to be on the same page about money, and I think mostly me and Kathy actually are, not in every little detail, but mostly I think we agree on these things. But let's suppose it's a serious point of contention. And you think, man, you know, we have this great relationship, but if we could just get on the same page about money, it'd be so awesome. We'd be almost perfect. And I think we think that because that's what we always talk about when we're stressed out or when we're, you know.
Now you're just using this as an example.
This
right?
is an example.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you and I actually disagree all that much about money, but
each couple may have their thing.
Right. And they just think,
if we could just make this work, everything would be better.
Right. We need to, if we could just get that solved, boy, our marriage would be perfect. And you know what? I promise you something. You'd find something else to fight about. And I don't mean fight.
Because it's about feelings.
Right.
And maybe by fight, we mean conflict. Right. And it could become a fight if you're not really intentional about how you do conflict.
Right. And the reason why you would find something else to have conflict over is because like if the money thing changed, let's suppose one of you got a raise that literally doubled your salary. And I mean, I've been there. I have actually gotten raises that virtually doubled my income in my life. Does that mean you're not going to have conflict anymore? Well, it might mean that you have less conflict about money because you're less stressed about it. It fits your lifestyle better. And I've experienced that.
And it could mean that the partner feels bad because they no longer feel like they're contributing enough.
Yeah, there could be all kinds of ways that could affect things. But it isn't going to be a magic solution because your problem as a couple isn't money. It's that it's what money represents in those conversations, which is, I don't feel like you love me, or I feel like you don't think I'm worth a jar of hand cream, or whatever it could be. It isn't really about the money. It's about how we interpret and understand the other person's words and behavior. And so if that issue was suddenly taken off the table for whatever reason, you'd still have reasons to fight or to have conflict or however you want to describe that.
I think sometimes we forget we're in relationships to be loved and to give love. And I think that's partly because the business of being in a relationship, especially if you've been married a long time, you share household space, you share finances to whatever degree you've combined them, you share raising children, you know, you share schedules, and everything becomes like a business, right? And right. I love accomplishing things, and I love being orderly, and I love planning, and I love collaborating with you, Jeff. Like, that's one of my favorite things about playing house and being married. And in fact, when I think of it as playing house, it's pretty fun. Like, I grew up and I get to play house. Anyway, but we sometimes forget in the busyness of it that we're together primarily as a source of love, a source right. of to put our love into and to receive from. And I think of that saying we have in our bedroom that I have to remind us or myself of, and that is, never let a problem to be solved be more important than a person to be loved.
Yeah. When we first got married, I remember I found a meme on that on the internet, and I had it printed on canvas, and we stuck it up there because mm-hmm. we wanted this to be our family motto. And I think that is important. We want to achieve the things that we want to achieve in our lives, our marriages, our businesses, our, you know, other endeavors, but the people are always going to be what matters most.
And if you think about it, if all your arguments or conflict are around nothing really vitally important other than feelings, then when you step back and start caring about the feelings of yourself and your partner, then it really begins to matter less what you're talking about and more what is going on in that interaction. Protecting feelings from damage when you're upset and then nurturing them when you're calm.
You know, Kathy, there's a couple I knew that reminds me of what you just said. And that is, this couple had a daughter together, and then the wife had two daughters from a previous marriage. And this family had had a lot of turbulence. I remember we stayed for a while with my in-laws, and my father-in-law was the bishop. This was in a previous marriage. And I remember him leaving in the middle of the night, you know, to go see this family because they were having so much conflict, and I felt kind of sorry for him, but, and them too, because they were all good people in a lot of ways. But the primary issue in their marriage, they believed, was the dad was really rough on that oldest daughter, and she was from the wife's previous marriage, and he was,
I can see how that would become conflict.
Yeah, she was never quite doing things the way he wanted her to, and you know, there was a lot of criticism and other issues there. And I remember lots and lots of people in that ward thought, well, once that daughter is off to college, their marriage is going to get better, because they looked at it as she was the source of the conflict. She was the problem. She was the issue. She was the, and in truth, she was the issue that they chose to fight out their conflict over. But guess what happened the second she left for college? That second daughter became a big problem. And they were still fighting. Now it was the daughter that he thought was the greatest and always before thought was, you know, the fair-haired girl. He started mistreating her and criticizing her all the time. And so what really was going on? It was never that oldest daughter. It was never the way she was behaving or how she did in school or any of the rest of it. It was that the husband and wife had issues and they just chose to fight those out about something else. But it was never about either of those daughters.
Well, and it doesn't mean that that situation, that circumstance didn't exist. There probably were interactions that required some navigating, and the navigation was such that she felt that it was inappropriate and he felt it was perfectly justifiable. And then, you know, out there to the races on who's right and I'm hurt by your opinion and you're hurt by mine.
Yeah. And they did end up getting divorced. This couple did, because I don't think they ever figured out that it wasn't really about the kids. It was about them. And they had some issues that they needed to figure out between themselves. Well, that were a little deeper than,
I don't know this couple, but I would imagine, based on the coaching that we've done with people who've been through divorce and remarried, that there was trauma related to the situation that probably had nothing to do with either of them. And it reminds me, Jeff, do you remember when you and I were first married and we couldn't hardly talk about certain subjects without
money? Was one of those
conflict. And it wasn't about the money.
It was never about
it. It was never. Because I would, even in my logical mind, I would be like, we just need to pay a bill. Why are we fighting? Like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
So Jeff and I, we knew that each of us had had some traumatic experiences with money from our past.
Yeah, mine go back to childhood, but then in my first marriage also. Mm-hmm.
And same here. So what we did is we went to EMDR therapy, and we each went in our own appointments, and we held these bilateral stimulation tappers in our hands, and it would go back and forth. And she would bring up certain things, or she would ask us certain questions, and then certain things would come up, and we just basically, we were letting that, the emotional garbage that was buried in our bodies, come out. And we didn't go with a specific purpose other than we were hoping our marriage would improve, or our communication, or even just our ability to function together.
Yeah, I mean, we both wanted to be happier people in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because we had had two divorces and we'd done a ton of personal work, but we came together and there was still hard stuff. Remarriage is hard stuff sometimes.
Right.
And anyway, we went
almost
and we
every
did this,
time, really.
We went and did this EMDR stuff. And I call it the best marriage therapy I've ever done. And I didn't do it with him.
Right.
We did it for ourselves. And now we talk about money just fine. It's like,
most of the time, yeah.
Because it really wasn't ever about the money.
No, it never
ever
was.
It was about the trauma that was coming up for us.
Kathy, have you seen that movie? I think it's called Yours, Mine, and Ours with Dennis Quaid and... what's the name of the woman who plays the wife in that movie? Anyway, have you seen that?
I have, yes.
And he's the high-ranking officer in the U.S. Coast Guard and a very military kind of guy. And
she's free-flowing,
and
free-loving.
She's like this hippie. Yeah. And each of them have a whole bunch of kids.
He raised his kids to be timely and orderly, and she raised hers to be free.
free flowing, and and you know, there's things to recommend both approaches. Being able to live a disciplined life has blessings later on for making money, for, you know, having stability, and there's all kinds of things. And then being a free flowing creative kind of person has benefits for creating quality of life and joy and all of those things. So I think both approaches, you can kind of see watching this movie that they both have some valid ideas, but coming together is really hard because the two cultures of the two families don't mesh well, or haven't, at least at first, didn't mesh well. And of course, in the end, they were going to get divorced. They had separated. They had decided there's no way we can make this work, even though we love each other. And at the end of the day, they decided, no, actually, love is more important than the cultures of our families and the style. And we're going to figure this out, make it work as a family. And although that's a caricature, I think it does say a lot about the way we blend families and how
that there's always a combination of two different people, two different parenting styles, two different ways that children were raised.
Yeah. I mean, I've joked sometimes about my stepkids that, you know, my kids were raised in a pretty free flowing way and they were a little rough around the edges, but they were kind of like Bart Simpson, you know, and I say Kathy's kids were more like the Flanders kids. And I say that, but there's a little truth to it too. You know, I mean, they weren't like my kids. They didn't seem like what I was used to. But you know what? They've gotten more that way since I moved in. And I don't want them to become totally like the kids I raised first. You know, I want them to have the best of both of us, as well as, you know, their dad's household too. I want them to pick the things that serve them best from all of us. And, you know, we've grown together and we love each other and we're a family and we are, regardless of who they were born to or any of that.
So why is it important to know that what most couples fight about is nothing?
I think it's because we get hyper-focused on certain issues and then we get stuck. Mm. And something I learned that I've told some people in coaching as well. As most people know, in my day job, I'm a lawyer. And at one time I was a university ombudsman at BYU. And I went to a seminar on mediation because I did quite a bit of mediation as ombudsman. And I've sat through a lot of mediations with clients since then as a lawyer. In mediation, picture an iceberg and 10% of the iceberg is above the water, and that's the part you see. But it's only 10% of the whole mass. Now, if you look at a conflict between two people, or two companies for that matter, the 10% that's above the water is the issue. It's the thing we're fighting about. It's the thing that the conflict is centered on. And at the end of the day, you go below the iceberg into the water, the first level under it the base level is values. That's where the biggest part of the conflict is. And then, what was the thing between values and the issue?
I don't know. You wrote it anyway, down for me, but I don't have it here.
And I'm not bringing it up in my brain. It's feelings, I think, emotions, I think is what it is. And so you have to get below the level of the issue and find out, okay, what feelings are you having and what values are driving that? And you can't ever get people to move off the dime on the issue until you have addressed the deeper things, the values and the emotions. And that's true in our marriages too. So we don't, and our relationships, if we're dating, it's not just looking at, oh, you like to go canoeing and I'd prefer to go hiking, we're incompatible. Well, maybe we both love the great outdoors and in that way we're compatible. And so, you know, what are the feelings? Maybe I used to go canoeing with my father. I mean, I actually saw a very prominent person post something on Facebook on somebody else's feed where they were laughing about the way guys post pictures with fish and stuff on their profile. And he said, you know what? I used to go fishing all the time with my dad, and he's gone now. And fishing was, you know, brought me memories of my dad. And that was really special to me. And so, you know, you just think I'm some dumb guy posting a picture with a fish. But to me, that represents time I had with my father when I was growing up. And you think about that, okay, somebody may make a lighthearted comment about a picture with a fish and think that there's nothing very important or interesting about that. And to him, that represents good times with his father. And so I think when we think about the issues that we cling to, it's important to talk through the deeper things with our partner. What are the emotions and what values drive those emotions?
That's one of the coolest things about playing house is getting under the water and exploring that iceberg.
Right.
I mean, and when I say fun, I mean, it can be challenging, but it's rewarding and it can feel really good.
Right. Now, I can tell you that I tried to sell Kathy on this concept in the middle of a conflict one time, and she just thought it was all BS then. But
well, I don't think I actually said that. It's just that that's not the time. It's not the time to decide how you're going to do conflict while you're in the middle of one.
Right. And that's what I was about to say, too, is I think you this is something you can talk about together when you're not in the middle of a particular conflict.
It's exactly like telling your kids, decide before you go to the party, before you even really start going to parties, that you're just going to say no to drugs.
Right.
So that when you're in the moment, you just know what you're going to do and there's no question.
And when you are in the moment, I think it's good to try to think, okay, why is my spouse or my boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever, why are they saying the thing they're saying? What are the emotions that are driving that? What are they possibly afraid of? What are they, you know, worried about losing? And then below that, what are the values? What matters most to them? And those can be subjects we can talk about in the heat of the moment. If we both, not in the heat of the moment, if you're triggered, but I just mean when things are starting to get tense, you can explore what matters most to each of you and what is it you're really worried about? You know, it's not whether you're allowed to put a picture with a fish on your Facebook page. That doesn't matter. It's your relationship with your dad is really what was driving that. And so it hurts your feelings if somebody mocks it or makes fun of it. And, you know, I certainly
basically being aware and expressing why things matter the way they do. And then as a partner showing up and respecting that information.
It's that. And I think it also gives you deeper information. So, you know, I like to spend Christmas this way on the beach or whatever because my family always did that. Well, I like to go skiing and spend it in snowy country, and everybody really should because, you know, all our winter traditions, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think if you really understand where the other person's coming from and what their deepest values are and what they're feeling and what feelings those are driving, then maybe you come up with a solution that doesn't involve one or the other person just getting their way at the other's expense. Maybe it's a way to take both sets of values and find a solution that honors both. And unless you really dig and find out what those values are and what the emotions are that are resulting, it's hard to think beyond, I want what I want, and it's really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then also, you're making me angry. How many times have we said something like that, right? You're making me sad. You're making me this or that. And when we take emotional accountability for our own self, for what's happening inside of us, and not putting it on our partner who really can't control that, then we can say how we're feeling in a way that isn't going to provoke so much defensiveness in them. Not that we can make them defensive either, but we do interact and affect each other, right? And so if we want to not be fighting about nothing, which is really about feelings, then we learn how to say things in a way that is more honest and more responsible.
Right. More honest, more responsible, and allowing that there's probably a way for both of us in the relationship to feel good without having to hurt the other one, have to lose or have to hurt.
Right. As we wrap up this podcast on what most couples fight about, which is nothing, which is really feelings. I wanted to remind you all of the quote that we have in our room as a motto for our relationship, because it's something we do have to remind ourselves a lot of. And it's by Thomas S. Monson. Never let a problem to be solved become more important than a person to be loved. And really, that's why we're in relationships. That's why we're in families that sometimes can have conflict, because it's a place where we can both give and receive love.
Very true, Kathy. And I'm grateful that you picked this topic. It's given me an opportunity to think about some things that I want to keep focused on. You know, friends, again, as we wrap up, I want to say that what most people fight about is nothing. Not literally because it's nothing, but because the issue doesn't really matter very much most of the time. Who gets control of the remote most of the time doesn't matter as much as, hey, you're not giving me a turn with the remote, and therefore I don't feel like you value me. And deep down, that's how we feel, right? I don't care if, you know, so much about, gosh, you didn't get me a present for Valentine's Day and I got you one. Well, we could have a fight about the people do, you know? Does the little box of candy matter all that much, or is it really a matter of, I feel like you don't care? And so I think, again, using the analogy of the iceberg, the thing that we're actually arguing about is the 10% of that iceberg that is above the water. But below that are feelings and values, and those make up 90% of what's happening. And that's the part we're not reaching. We think it's all about, you know, did you use up too much gas in the car, or did you spend money frivolously, or, you know, how come we haven't had sex in 5 days, or, you know, whatever it is we might be fighting about or arguing about. But it's really not about that. It's about how much we feel loved, how much we feel like our partner loves or is committed to us. And it's about the fundamental values. And I think, why does it matter if we know this? Why does it matter that most of the things we argue about, or the biggest thing we argue about, is nothing? Well, it's because what we're really arguing about is, I feel insecure or unloved.
Or unappreciated.
It's at the level of emotion and at the level of values. And if we really understand how each other think about those things, if we can go deeper than just...
Or even have grace for the trauma that can be under that iceberg brewing in anyone who's had a past relationship that was traumatic for them.
Right. I mean, you can make up whatever rule you want in terms of, okay, you pick what we watch this time and I'll pick next time or whatever. You can come up with any rule you want. But the only thing that's really going to move you forward and help you as a couple is if you address that part that's under the water. What feelings are you having? What are your values that are driving those? And if you come to a better understanding about those with your partner, you can find a way to honor what you're both feeling and what you're both wanting and what both sets of values are driving.
Or that will be sensitive to those really deep, unconscious things that you're not really even sure about, but, you know, we can be tender with each other about.
Right. And I, you know, as I think about that too, I think anytime I have a conflict with Kathy, if I can tell that she's hurting inside, that always helps to change my heart. And it's not that I want her to go around acting hurt. It's really, I don't want her to hurt because I care about her. And that's the way I think we have to kind of understand these issues, is it may seem when we are only looking at the 10% of the struggle that's above the water, we might think that person's behaving like a lunatic.
Like this problem just needs to be solved rather than someone is here in front of me needing to be loved.
Right. And I think, to be honest with you folks, it takes longer. It takes longer to solve things that way. But it also cements the love in your relationship and helps you to become really more solid as a couple. And so we
and potentially get past that those minefields that you never seem to get past.
Right. Why am I so worried that my husband doesn't pick up his socks? What is it that I'm feeling, and why am I feeling it? And I need to express that to him. And, you know, why am I worried that she spent, you know, that she overspent the food budget by $20 or whatever? Well, I mean, maybe I need to look inside too and wonder why that mattered so much to me. What is it in my value system? What is it in my feelings? In my experience.
And we might not even always have the answers because it's so far down the iceberg, right? But it could be something like, I don't even know why I feel this way. I just feel this way. Could you just hold me?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to explore the feelings and the values more than the issue, because you can get stuck on the issue. Well, I think it should be this way. Well, I think it should be that way. And you both come up with debating points for why it should be the way you want it. And then you kind of both stick to your guns and it becomes something you can never get
beyond. Or like
beyond.
You said, you resolve it with an agreement, but you didn't get to the root of it.
Right. Maybe what I want isn't so much, you know, to spend more on this or that. Maybe what I really want is to feel like my spouse cares about me. And how is that going to come about?
Right.
So anyway, folks, thank you so much for listening. We hope that this has been something enlightening that will change the way you approach relationships with the people you love, and will enhance and help you to go deeper and build something stronger. And we also know that any time is a great time for more love in your life. Thank you so much for showing up and doing the work.
For a customized roadmap to your desired destination, schedule a free 20-minute coaching consult at loveinlateryears.com. We are here to support you.